Today, we delve into the story of the late Charlie Munger, a titan of investing whose wisdom extended far beyond the realms of finance.
Born in Omaha, Nebraska in 1924, Charlie's early years were shaped by the Great Depression. His service in the U.S. Army Air Corps, he developed a keen analytical mind. This led him to Harvard Law School, where he excelled, graduating magna cum laude in 1948.
In California, Charlie began a successful legal career, but he was always drawn to the broader world of business and investment. It was his meeting with Warren Buffett in the late 1950s that truly set the stage for this future.
Joining forces, Munger and Buffett transformed Berkshire Hathaway into a behemoth of value investing. The big money is not in the buying and selling, but in the waiting. Hi everyone, my name is Theon and welcome to The Limitless Podcast. Joining us as always is your co-host, Matthew. Hail up the people in Matthew.
Hey guys, what's good?
Excellent. Now, from our introduction, I guess you can see that it's with deep respect that we acknowledge the passing of Charlie Munger, right? He was an esteemed investor, businessman, and a philanthropist, right? Widely celebrated for his wisdom, his integrity, his contributions to the world of finance on a whole, right? So he's known for his role as vice chairman of Berkshire Hathaway and his legendary partnership with Warren Buffett. And unfortunately, he does leave behind a legacy that is characterized by his sharp wit. He has a lot of insightful investment philosophy and just the profound impact he had on us as investors, on people in the business space, business leaders, thinkers globally, right? So today we'll be talking about a few of his philosophies based on some of his quotes that he has said over the years. All right. Just lessons we learn from him. And I mean, if you guys are new, a sub to the channel would be great. If you like this video, just thumbs up at the end. All right. So let's get it. So one of the quotes I like from Charlie is, "The first rule of compounding is to never interrupt it unnecessarily," right? And it really, to me, it just speaks about the power of compound interest. Because, I mean, even Albert Einstein said it. Albert Einstein actually has a quote about compound interest. "He who understands it earns it. He who doesn't pays it." All right? That's a quote by Albert Einstein. So, I mean, So the power of compound interest is real. It's very, very, very real, especially with a long-term investment mindset. And especially based on, and Preston, you've also said it in previous podcasts too, your strategy is long-term, right? But it's comprised of a series of short-term investments for you. But the aim is still, you have long-term goals, you have long-term visions, right? So do I. I do think similarly as well. And that long-term perspective, that long-term approach to investing, that's where the true power of compound interest is realized, right? Over extended periods of times. So the longer you let your investments grow, right, the more significant the compounding effects becomes. And that's why we like to preach, start investing from early, right? Because the earlier you start, the better you get at it, the more you see that those effects of compounding and the more profound those effects become.
Right? Like a snowball effect. The snowball starting from the top of the hill and it goes all the way down, gets larger and larger.
Precisely. Right. One of the hardest things is patience, right? Compound interest, it requires time, right, to work its magic. Right? It requires a lot of time. So one of the things I always have to tell myself as an investor is just resist the FOMO, resist the temptation to react to like short-term market fluctuations and volatility and all of that. Just stick to the goal, because we know what our goal is, right? So let's stick to the goal. So patience is key. So that's what I get from that quote.
One of my favorite quotes speaks to his and Warren Buffett's philosophy of value investing. So he says, it's far better to buy a wonderful company at a fair price than a fair company at a wonderful price. So the core, what I got from this is that you always just, at the core of it, you want to buy a good investment. So, you know, we have a preference towards stocks, so you want to buy a good business, but even if it was real estate or bonds that you're into, at the core of it, you want to make sure that what you're buying is truly good. So I think like with one of the things about with value investing is that you don't just want to look at, oh, the stock price or the PE, the price to earnings ratio. There's other things that aren't included in those valuation metrics. So for example, the management of a business. You want good management that has similar goals towards you. They actually want to truly grow the value of the company in a way that can, you know, lead to an increase in the share price and also paying out more dividends, profitability, revenues. You also want to look at the market or the industry that the business is in, because even if you have good management, if you're not in a good industry, like an industry that is growing versus an industry that's shrinking, it doesn't matter how good the management is or how good the revenues and the profits are. Like if overall the industry itself isn't looking too good, especially when you mentioned long-term thinking 5-10 years down the line, if it's a shrinking industry, maybe a time to sell the stock or look towards something else. They also taught me a lot about, or he also taught me a lot about the margin of safety, about like whenever you're buying a company, you want to have a good margin of safety. So essentially it's like, imagine you're looking at a stock, it's a $1, but then say you are valuing it at like $1.20, there's like a possible 20% upside versus looking at a company that say it's at $1 now, but you see the true value as like a $3 stock or a $4 stock. There's a much higher margin of safety in that. And so you always want to look at things like that, the true value of the business when you are looking, or value of the investment when you are looking to invest. Another thing that I learned, you have to be able to control your emotions in investing, especially with something like, for example, stocks. There are things that, you know, he gave a good example of the Mr. Market analogy, where say you and I, Theon, started a business, or say Limitless, we said 50-50. And imagine if every day, I'm Mr. Market in this example, every day I come to you with a different price and I'm proposing to buy out your share. So today the business could be doing really well and I'm like, I want to buy your stake out at a $1 per share. Then the next day the business is doing, nothing has changed about the business, but then I'm telling you, no, I'm going to buy it at $3 per share. And then the next day I'm saying I'm going to buy it at 10 cents. Nothing has changed about the business within that short amount of time, but that's essentially what the market does with the stock. Nothing can change the business itself, but then just things can change in the perception of the company or just what's going on with people. Like someone could just need to sell their shares and they just sell it down. You have to be able to control your emotions, because if you are someone who can't control your emotions, you might be like, oh no, I'm going to sell. But you always have to be like, wait, the stock price is dropping, but how is the business itself doing? You know? So you have to try to know, look at things that you may not really, there's always things that you sometimes may not know. And you always want to try to be increasing that knowledge. And you have to have that proper mindset when you're looking at investments.
Yeah, and that ties back to the same quote, my first quote, which was the first rule of compounding is to never interrupt it unnecessarily. And that patience really and truly is key, right? It does take some time, but you have to, part of being patient is also controlling your emotions, because you can just get fed up and say, oh, this stock is not doing what I want it to do, and then just sell it. But what's your timeline on it? Did the things that you expected, have they played out, right? Is there a better option? So it all boils down to that. I think another quote that I also like, the best way to avoid mistakes is to be willing to learn from others. It's much less painful to learn from the mistakes of others than to do it all yourself. And that is 100% facts, right? So I think Charlie was talking about just the efficiency, right, of learning from the mistakes of others, because then you don't have to go through what they did, right? if you sit and you observe and understand the failures of other people, it's good because you personally are not taking that risk on, right? You haven't put skin in the game. You haven't put money in it, right? You've seen the lesson. You've learned from your friend or whoever it is, whether it's a book that you've read about people's mistakes or so on, whether it's a podcast you've listened to, like the Limitless podcast, where we talk about maybe our losses or so on, right? Whatever the example is, right? It's good to use those lessons and learn from them. I think that's the biggest thing. Always learn from your mistakes. Like let's say you buy a stock and the price goes down, right? Sometimes, yeah, the first thing, you probably get angry, you probably get disappointed or sad, maybe cry because you put a lot of money in it, right? But at the end of the day, the best thing you can do is understand, why did this stock go down, right? Learn from it and learn from the good things as well, right? Learn from definitely the good things. Let's say you buy a stock and you didn't expect it to go up 10x, you only expected it to go up 2x, right? Still learn from it. Why did it go up 10x, right? Is this the factor? Is it because, you know, the float is small or something, right? That way you can replicate those kind of things. And don't just do it in the bad times, do it in the good times as well. And I think for me, it requires a lot of humility, right? Acknowledging that, I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything in the market. I don't know what the market's going to do. And that's tough sometimes. Like sometimes you could do all your reading and research, right? But you really and truly don't have all the answers. And so I think this quote is really good from that perspective. And also, I've realized for me personally, I don't know about you, Preston, but in our stock group chats, all right, I learn a lot. Especially when somebody does, makes a mistake or so on, or makes a good trade. Either way, that's the power of group chat. So it really underscores like the practicality of using like a collective experience. Basically, it's a lot of us in a group chat. So a lot of people are talking about stocks. A lot of people are telling us the investments they've made and the lessons they've learned. And I think this approach definitely can help in avoiding pitfalls that other people have encountered.
Another quote that spoke about to me the importance of reading, he said, "In my whole life, I have known no wise people who didn't read all the time. None. Zero." And I mean, this is something that even together, I guess we've both, recently we've been, you know, trying to read a lot more. I've been reading a lot of books. It's not just reading books too. I've also been trying to, you know, read an article a day. And I try to look at like, okay, how could this article affect something or affect a company that I could invest in or an industry, or just how could it affect me in some way? Like, how could I profit from this or learn something from this? And I think even like psychology books, you know, I'm reading one now. It's titled, I think it's Thinking in Bets. And it's talking about like this whole thing of, as people, we tend to judge how good a decision is based on the outcome. But sometimes what happens is that you can make a good decision with the information that you had and you get a bad outcome. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't do something like that again. Sometimes the decision-making process was good, but we don't factor in a lot of times. Sometimes we're lucky. Sometimes we make bad decisions and get good outcomes, but that doesn't mean you should do the same thing again. There's also the importance of like your circle of competence. Warren Buffett and Charlie speak about that all the time, about trying to invest in things that you understand. Like you can expand that circle of competence, but at the core of it, you need to make sure that what you're investing in, you understand, whether it's a stock, whether it's a bond, whether it's real estate, anything, you need to make sure you understand what you're investing in, and you get a better understanding you can deepen your circle of competence, and you can actually expand the circle too by reading. And reading every day or reading every week or whichever frequency you want, but reading, trying to always learn.
Charlie really dedicated his life to investing and making the finance space better. Just learning from this legend, you know, I think for us, for me personally, it gives me a lot of good investment tips. For both of us, sorry. It gives us a lot of good investment tips. So thank you so much, guys. Of course, rest in peace, Charlie. And yeah, this is Limitless Podcast. If you guys loved it, you can subscribe, leave a like. Take care.